Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
I was about to say that I don't actually know what Blockbuster is. I'm 12.
You look really bad for your age, if that's the case.
You have not aged well for a 12-year-old.
Welcome to Pitch Please. My name's Alex. Hello. I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
All right.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Sup.
And Thomas, the Ideas Engine.
Yo, yo, wiggity waggeter. It's your boy. Sup.
Everyone's cool today. Got that summer feeling in them, yeah?
Word dog. Up to my homies.
This is how we have to talk for the rest of the episode.
Oh, no. Please don't.
All right, how's everyone doing? Are you ready for some ideas?
Bad.
No, sorry.
No. Actually, sorry, I don't want any ideas today.
Oh, God. All right, look, we've got to do something to cheer Tom
up. Cheer me up. Make me feel better.
Do you like... retro things?
I love retro things. I feel great. Thanks, Alex.
There we go. We're done.
No, go. Give me the idea. Hot idea. I like retro things.
Look,
go.
It's a classic, Alex. It's not a full idea. I need your help.
Mushrooms.
But that's what this podcast is about, right? mushrooms.
Retro
and
mushrooms.
And something to do with fairies. that's usually where I go. It's not that. This time is something very different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bit of soup pudding at the moment. It's something that needs, it's spaghetti soup. We need to pick out the individual letters and string together a description of a game.
Wait, so you've got alphabet-y spaghetti, but you've got all 26 letters in there.
More than once.
And we just have,
I hope so.
But what do you have?
What I have is Video Store Sim, right? That's the title. That's the working title. Okay.
So Blockbuster.
So, yeah, exactly, right? I know I'm probably the oldest. I'm pretty sure I'm the oldest, but I'm pretty sure we all grew up at some point in our lives, Blockbuster existed, right? It still exists in one place in the world, right?
I would like to, for people to reply on Twitter or on YouTube with what they think our ages are.
Okay.
Just as a nice thought experiment.
Well, I was about to say that I don't actually know what Blockbuster is. I'm 12.
You look really bad for your age, if that's the case.
You have not aged well for a 12-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Is that a hard
life? I started smoking when I was 3.
You got a mortgage when you were 7.
Yeah.
He's either a really old-looking 12-year-old or a really young-looking Macaulay Culkin.
He's on the same path. Child actor.
Okay, so Blockbuster. VHS, for anyone who wasn't alive when Blockbuster was a thing, it's just a
film.
Store where you go to rent stuff, right? It's Netflix, but
you can grab.
Yeah.
It's physical Netflix.
You can look with your hands, not with your eyes.
So it's VHS tapes, they had DVDs and games for a little while towards the end of its life before it died a very slow death over about 8 years. But basically, it used to be like the mecca, right? For entertainment. That's where you would go. That's where every
mecca.
Friday night, it was mecca. Like, if you liked films, this was the best place in the world to go. This was where you would get films. You couldn't download them from the internet. The internet didn't even exist in 1990.
No, you couldn't download
it. Definitely didn't exist. Don't interrupt me, Chris. I know it did exist in 1990.
No, I was going to say that Blockbuster were the first people to have a Game Pass where you could rent out as many games as you want. Yeah, as long as
you can believe it.
There
you go. Trailblazing.
Amazing. Such inventive minds. Where are they now?
Dead. They're dead.
Oh. Yeah, they're dead.
So this game is set in a time where they weren't dead. This is set in a time where they were on top of the world. Okay.
They were mecha.
This is early 90s, maybe mid 90s, right? You are a clerk, maybe a manager of one of these.
A clerk? Why would you want to play a game where you're the clerk? Go big. Go manager.
All right. All right. Go big. You're the manager. You just, it's your first day on the job, manager. Maybe it's not even a blockbuster. Maybe it's not a franchise. Maybe you're like, a, you know, like you, because there were tons of like independent video stores, right? Back in those days. Maybe you're one of those. Some of those actually still exist. There's like a really shitty one in Bristol that has thousands of old VHSs.
And no customers.
No customers. but you were at the point where basically entertainment, people had to come to you for entertainment. This is, if they want to watch a movie, they come to your shop. That's what entertainment was about in the 90s. And you own and manage one of these shops. What does a game like that look like?
Oh man!
Oh boy!
It has to be, I guess.
Because I have ideas, but I don't want to sway it too much before I hear what other people's immediate thoughts are. You're thinking pixel art, Chris?
Yeah, just because of the aesthetic.
Because it's 90s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like you could do really high density pixel art and have a nice like video VHS filter over everything, which would look. I don't know if that would clash with the pixel art too much.
Well, I mean, like Hotline Miami is kind of like that as well.
Yeah.
That VHS style kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that works very well with the 80s aesthetic.
Isometric. I mean, in my head, what I've done is taken the game Cardboard Kings and swapped out one rectangular shape for a slightly more 3D rectangular shape in the form of VHS.
Sure. But also Roller Coaster Tycoon was sort of 2D isometric, wasn't it? And very high detail. It doesn't have the VHS filter over it, but Roller Coaster Tycoon worked.
Yeah.
You could see all of the carrots in their vomit. It was amazing.
Holy shit.
Then you could do a Papers, Please aspect of, do you have your ID card, your Blockbuster card?
Yeah.
You've got to check that their age.
That's crucial.
So I've just racking my brain about, like, you know, growing up in Kemsing, in Kent, we had this little tiny video store. And just, you know, reminiscing about what it was like to go and rent the same video every week. Monty Python's
still they had
Holy Grail.
one VHS
over and over and over again. But the thing that would make good mechanics is that they only ever had a few copies of each film. So if they had the new blockbusters, they'd only have one or two copies of it. So you'd be like, you'd have to get there early, or you'd be like ringing them up. Have you got Face Off in stock? You know, I really want to rent or some other 90s film. So that's got a feature. They also had a lot of penny sweets. So that's got a feature when sweets did cost a penny.
Oh, yeah, penny sweets.
They sold popcorn and all of that stuff as well. I forgot about that.
The freezer full of popsicles.
Ben and Jerry's.
That had been there. Ben and Jerry's was too nice for this place. It would
be
like, you know, the ice cream, the like custard and rhubarb that you'd get at like a really bad cinema with a wooden spoon in. You know, that's what.
The ones where you can taste the wood more than the flavor of the ice cream.
Absolutely, the wood flavor.
That's the tagline. I can remember that taste.
So you had like American Cola rather than Coke.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mr. Pibb instead of Dr. Pepper.
Exactly.
That's a niche reference.
Virgin Cola, maybe. Mr. Pibb.
Oh, Virgin Cola. I remember that. Our little video shop was a corner shop, and in the back left there was a post office, and the back right, that's where there was a video rental thing. Oh. It was a whole situation
going on. A corner shop?
Well, it was... Okay, it was... The corner of the shop was a shop. It was a very small building.
So a corner.
Yeah, the outside was not on a corner. Actually, one of the corners was. There's a lot of corners. Buildings have four corners a lot of the time.
Right, but only one of them was on a corner, and inside that corner, was it the same corner that was on the corner that was the corner for the corner shop?
No, that would be the video rental bit, because they had a side door if you didn't want to go through the main shop bit.
Okay, so not the corner that was on the corner, corner for the...
I mean, we've already... Maybe there's a layout mechanic where you can, you know, place things where you want.
This fucking thing is on.
Yeah.
I think that should feature flow. Because they packed that place full, because, you know, videotapes are big and the aisles were like, you'd barely get a person down there and you'd be like squeezing down to pick up the video.
It was a labyrinth, but it was really exciting to navigate those and like have going in between the different sections. Like as a kid as well, you know, especially like, you know, okay, this bit is the bit where I'm going to beeline here. These are going to be all the new titles that I'm going to watch. They're like, it's the Jurassic Park or whatever. But then over in the corner as well, there's like the adult section where you see like weird things like the
Jurassic Park.
What's it called? Hellraiser.
Jurassic Park. Yeah. I was thinking Hellraiser.
That is burned into my head. The guy with like Pinhead, the cover of that VHS. I will never forget it because I saw that in a Blockbuster. But then also just walking past and seeing like
something within
like
you.
World cinema, and there would be like that's where you were most likely to see some kind of nudity on the front of a VHS cover.
That's the only place you could get it from.
In the 90s.
Alex looking up, just eyes open, just staring.
Trying to nudge the shelf so the VHS drops.
I grew up in a religious family. I was terrified to walk down there. I thought I would go straight to hell or something.
Stop burning as you walk by.
Hellraiser's face looking at you the whole time. Like
tiny nipples
of a foreign film.
So that element of it, like that kind of like local... Like, I think leaning into like the things like what James, you're talking about, like people calling up and having to like have on hold. You only have a certain limited copies of things. So you have to be in charge of ordering those and you only get so many in. But then you also have to perhaps, is it too micromanagey to like have to manage calls and be like, okay, I'm putting this aside for Mr. Jones. They're coming in at 7 o'clock.
I think so.
I don't think it's too micromanagey. Like, I would say you ought, like, let's say buying the VHS copy costs 10. Let's use pounds. £10. Mm. And then you have to then go, okay, I'm going to rent this out for $1.99 for a night. Mm. So you have to realize how you can set the price to get back your cost quicker. But you could then go, oh, this has high demand. I'm going to buy 30 of them. And then all of a sudden it's shit. And then you've got 30 copies of a film no one wants. So you then have to price it low. I think you definitely need to do... We had another thing like this. What was it? We were talking about...
Yeah, you've used this idea on a different game that was very recent.
It's almost
as
if I'm creatively bankrupt.
It's like Tom with his card games. Mine is, things go out of fashion sometimes.
It's just such a wayward shot.
I have to throw some shade at you every now and again, Tom.
Rick, in the middle of a fight, you just turn around and punch me in the face.
Yeah, ricochet.
I'm backing you up. Man, I feel like I was blessed. My childhood, I had a big Blockbuster. There was loads of space. I never had to wait for a copy.
You had Sky and stuff though as well, didn't you?
I did have Sky.
You were one of those kids.
Cartoon Network.
I did have Sky as well. Yeah, it's quite spoiled for that.
Yeah, that's right, motherfuckers. I don't know trouble or pain.
All I had was a loaf of bread instead of a television. We had to look at that. Etch things into it. I don't know why I went to Blockbuster. It was pointless.
You had to go to like an Asda.
Just to touch Alex, on what is this? Did you scratch a naked woman into the side of your bread?
What are you doing to it?
It's just the mold.
Go to your room and take your fedora and leather coat with you.
Where's my sword?
Fucking, that's a callback. Christ.
So I'm still thinking about the video store where I grew up. Eventually, when DVDs came in, I don't know if this was true for videotapes, but you had the versions which were like for rental and not for rental. And you weren't allowed to have like, you know, you couldn't go to Asda and buy 3 copies of Dora the Explorer and then rent them out. That's not allowed. But this place did, but they would scratch the... not for rental off, and they would stick stickers over them. So if you can buy a legit copy for like $10.99, like Chris said, but maybe there's an option to also buy, I'll just go and get one from the store.
Gary at the boot sale.
Yeah, or I'll get bootleg versions again, not to harken back to a previous episode, but you could go to the, get like, maybe you record it off the TV and you start renting out.
Oh, you just you record films. Like you actively have like a station in your shop where you can just VHS record.
Maybe that's
a
piece of machinery you can eventually buy, the Duplicator 5000 or whatever.
You save up for a video camera and it's like, spend 3 hours visiting the cinema and it's just, you come back and you've got a bad copy of a film.
You can pay an employee to go and do that for you or buy them from someone.
So you're going down two paths.
Could be another level of management.
Legit Blockbuster, as legit as Blockbuster is, I imagine. I'm sure it's fine. They don't exist now.
Of course, absolutely.
It's not liable.
Yeah.
But You could also go down the shady back alley VHS dealer route.
I feel like that's the way, right? If you're playing as a blockbuster, as a blockbuster or a massive chain, then you kind of already, in a way, you've almost already won. I feel like it's kind of cool to play as the scrappy guy who has to do some dirty shit
so
to actually make it.
Is the enemy in this, yeah, in this game.
It's like Stardew Valley, right?
It's just like Stardew Valley.
As in Jojo the corporation Ma? Versus the little
annoyingly,
guy.
That was what I was thinking of.
Did you ever see the film Be Kind, Rewind?
Yes.
That is, you know, they've got the rival across the road, which is obviously, you know, the flashy place. And then this is like a little, a little store. And like then Bob's that maybe Burgers. That maybe that's an option. Record your own versions of films and sell those.
I love
those
a movie
as well.
Tie-in.
Yeah,
Be Kind, Rewind, the movie, the game.
Yeah, that leads into something else that I was thinking of, which is like having the idea of this would be a bit earlier than this was more of an 80s thing. But their whole in the UK, we had the whole like video nasty thing where there was this whole period of films that it was a point where the BBFC didn't need to. They didn't have to go through BBFC classification rating. They could just be released into like video stores and things. And they got to a point where you had like a bunch of these films would get made that had, there were no kind of rules, no like, there was no governing body that would be like, okay, this is a bit fucked up. Maybe it should have this, maybe it shouldn't be shown to kids or maybe it shouldn't be released or whatever. And people were just making whatever. And then there was a point where the government stepped in after like public outcry and like all these films made people worship Satan and kill other people. You know, there was like just like
there's like a whole moral crisis
going. And then they stepped in and like, okay, now we're gonna ban a bunch of these films. But people loved them. So you would get these, obviously not blockbuster, but you would get like loads of these video stores like selling or renting out these films that were technically illegal to be rented out, but they were so popular and there was such a cult following around a bunch of these different films. There's like a couple of hundred different films at that point that they would have like these backroom sections where you would walk in through the curtain and they would have lots of adult films, but they would also have the video nasty films, or you'd have to ask someone at the counter for a specific film. But then they would in the video stores, they would also have copying facilities in the back room to be able to reproduce these films so they could then rent them on. But police would raid them. So they literally had to get ready to like burn all this stuff or chuck it out, or like, so it's quite a dangerous thing to do.
So
but they needed the money from it.
Without the BBFC, if they weren't rating them, what was making it illegal? I don't want to go into 1980s law, but like,
Remember this a lot better than I do because I edited a whole video on it like not that long ago. But I think that's what happened is that the BBFC, there wasn't a proper governing body to rate VHS releases. They had films sorted, but there wasn't VHS releases. They didn't govern that side of it. And there was a point that when they started to do that, they were like, okay, we need to step in and say that these things are too much. Like this film is not allowed. It was part of the whole, there was like a moral panic in the 80s of like, because people had gone quote unquote too far with the kind of content they were putting in films. And as a reaction to that, they made like this list of films that were like, these films are banned. You are not allowed to distribute them.
You can't watch Fuck Nasty the Killer.
Yeah, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if that was one of the titles.
Let me just Google
it. People fucking loved them. Like, so the most famous one that got on that list is probably The Evil Dead, which
don't Google it.
Was
don't Google panic fuck nasty.
the panic in your voice. Fuck. don't Google it.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on the path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Tom's going to get raided.
It was the same situation. The same thing happened with video games with, I think it was, especially in America, with like FMV stuff and I think like probably Street Fighter and Tekken, where they started doing like the fatalities and stuff because they weren't rated
officially, and that was, I think that started the formation of the ESRB, especially in America. Because they had the whole, oh, they're teaching violence and Satan worship and, you know, all that. The same lines, but you just swap out the cause, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the decade. But no, I like that. Maybe you place a copy room in the back, you know, but someone has to, you have to have employees to man it. Similar how Roller Coaster Tycoon, which Tom said earlier, that you place, you know, cleaners who do a certain zone, but they're stuck to that. And then obviously in the newer games, you can place certain staff in certain shops, but that is a cost per hour or per day, depending on how you want to do it.
Yeah.
And I do think being like, okay, so, you know, Brian is on copy room from 3 till 6.
Backroom Brian.
You know, which means I think there has to be some staff. It needs to be very micromanagey, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm inclined to agree. I also think there needs to be a massive dialogue aspect to this. Because the thing that, when I think of like what it was like to go to a video store, is that you could ask for a recommendation. You could be, oh, I'm really into this. And the clerk, the personal managers touch, were always supposed to be really knowledgeable about films. You know, they loved films. That's why they had these stores. So there could be an element of a character comes up to you and then we'll list off a couple of things, and you might have some known movies that you can go, oh yeah, this one is the one you want. And then the goal is to also keep them happy. So you'd be like, yeah, I want to give them this videotape because I know they'll love it and they'll give me 5 stars, or they'll come back and give me a tip, or
yeah.
But then that could feed in nicely to this whole back room sort of thing, where you might try and fish out which NPCs are going to like that kind of thing. You'd be like, I've got just the thing for you, and you lead them to the back room. But then you got to like suss out if there's like a undercover cop or something, or like they're coming around being like, yes, have you got any of those video nasties that I've heard about? And I was like, this is clearly a cop. No, we've got nothing like that here, mate. Off you go.
Yeah, I'd say like a simple way of doing that would be every film you have is a genre and theme, and they could be like, hey, I'm really into fantasy action, and you're like, I have loads of fantasy, but you could then sort of see what they've taken out before, and then sort of be like, okay, you've seen that. I'm going to recommend that one, and then they go away. And if you give them, I think there should be a thing where obviously you can give them a film they've seen before, and you get, as James said, like maybe rated lower, or you know,
I think I mean that could be part of the. You could assign lots of different tags to different movies, right? There could be lots of like a main genre and then 3 subgenres or something. And perhaps like, because that was one of the things about the older independent video stores in a larger way about independent stores versus chain stores in general, is that a lot of people, the idea was that, oh, it's all about the, you know, it's all about the personal touch. Like if you come here as opposed to going to Blockbuster, we're gonna know you, we're gonna know what you like, and blah blah blah. And so the more you burn those customers by like not treating them right, or you know, giving them bad recommendations, the less likely they are to come back in the future.
Yeah, I think you can also add a bit more color to it as well with the dialogue. Instead of them coming up to you and saying like, I'm looking for action horror, and you're just like, well, I know exactly what I'm going to give you.
Yeah,
they could say like, oh, I need a little bit more love in my life.
I've been thinking about chopping up women lately. in orc women. And you're like, oh, okay. Here's my fantasy serial killer.
To murder up an orc.
That's really cool. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, it's something to do. But also, you know,
it's a little bit puzzly.
I think we're missing a crucial element of a blockbuster style game, and it is they have a rental period. What happens if they you offer the video or game or whatever for 3 days and it's gone for 4, for 5 or whatever?
Yeah,
do you go and break those fucking fines, legs? Fines, okay.
No, yeah, fines.
I think it could be one of those things where if you do have dialogue options where, you know, they bring it back and you're like, okay, it's the first time, you can choose to forgive fine or receive fine. Obviously, you've made a loss twice because you can't rent that film out whilst it's still gone, and 2, you're not taking your fine money. But maybe that means they'll come back sooner, or they might choose to rent another one whilst they're there. because they're not leaving, you know, angry or...
Yeah, like you could have like people call you up on the phone and be like, look, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it tonight. I've got to go and take little Jimmy to tennis practice or whatever. Can I bring it in tomorrow?
And but you've next already time got they come in, you know that they like tennis and you can use that information to give them that new tennis thriller that you've got.
Have this game where, where someone gets murdered with tennis rackets. Yeah.
Yes.
Wimble doomed.
Oh, no.
There we go.
All right. I think also there should be, in the moment where you're like, right, you're banned. You can't order anything else. You have like 3 seconds to take their picture, print it out and put it on the board.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
And anytime you see them again, you can consult the board and be like, no, I fucking remember you. You didn't bring back the same movie 4 times in a row. What the fuck is wrong with you? You have to kick them out.
I think it should be possible as well to mix up the tapes and the boxes. So they used to take the tape out of like the nice display and put it into like the Blockbuster Blue or whatever. And you could be like, oh, little Jimmy's rented a cartoon. And then it's like Hellraiser or something worse. And it's like, you've traumatized my child.
And then you have to find that tape. Who was the last person to rent it? And then you've got like another tick against them of like, right, you're fucking back with Hellraiser instead
you
of Shrek.
You son of a bitch, you switch,
switch the tapes, you fucker.
Is there a database for every customer
you
that you go through?
Everything. You know everything about them. Everything.
That's awesome. Everything.
There's got to be some old Amiga or something where it's like the green screen.
It's
all green text on the black screen and you have to search up
makes
people's
that
names.
Super old hard drive noise when you boot it up.
Yeah.
I feel like 90% of the games that I rented from Blockbuster were scratched to fuck. And it was so difficult to like return them and say like, this is unplayable. It doesn't work. They would argue it to the very end and just like, you scratched it then. I won't give you another one. Like, no, I didn't.
Fine when we gave it out.
Please give me my Blockbuster card back. I need it. In a couple of weeks, Halo is coming out, and you better believe I'm coming back to rent that.
Oh my God, you can keep people's cards. That's really going to like incense
that's how you,
them, isn't
that's
it?
That's how you ban them. You bar them from Blockbuster.
There's a first-person minigame where you have to slice it in front of them as they watch.
Yeah,
the closer you move the scissors, the more you can see their heartbreak.
You can see the tears coming down and you're like...
As you cut it, both pieces fall in slow motion and it slowly fades to black and white. It's very filmic.
You see it bounce on the floor.
Only Time by Enya plays.
Well, there's the budget.
I knew exactly what you were singing there, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
I think there should also be, I mean, we've got to talk about the rivalry between your little store and the big Blockbuster, right? Do you think there's like, by night, you could be like, throw brick through front of Blockbuster?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like,
took a turn.
Fucking hell.
How do you win against a titan like Blockbuster? I mean, obviously Netflix, but...
I think the idea is that like, if you're... You're never going to win in terms of you're never going to make more money than them.
You're going
to
survive.
You're never going to have more customers. Yeah, your job is to basically be the place that people who love film and local families and stuff. Like maybe it's a small town or something. That's the place. Yours is the place they choose to go to because you're the guy that knows the films that they like, and that's like Chris said, your job is to survive, to not get murdered
but,
by Blockbuster.
Okay, so there isn't an end. It's not like, can you overthrow, is it Joja or whatever they're called in Stardew? Can you actually shut down that building? Can you win
you
against
them? You can choose to, yeah, you can like...
go against them or work with them, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, but there isn't like an end game where the building shuts down or whatever.
No, I think they can move out, right? From what I understand,
rebuild the community center, I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I think they move out and like a cinema moves in its place or something. So you can actually move them out. So maybe that's an end game to it. Like maybe that is a thing. Because that is something that we struggle with quite a lot sometimes. I feel like a lot of the games that we talk about feel quite endless. Maybe that's not a bad thing necessarily, but it's like, is that because we haven't thought about it enough? Like, how do you win a game like this?
This is a very short form podcast and it doesn't let us develop ideas that well.
But almost.
Thank you for everyone for listening. please listen more.
I mean, you could make the argument, it's just like, how long do you... It's like inevitable, right? That you're going to go out of business. But that seems an sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's
like, there is an end date where at the end of it, it's how much money did you make? Or, you know, you get all these stats and it's like, try again. It's a roguelike. Mm. You start with different starting VHSs every time.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No.
So when someone... Okay. All right.
We can't have more of these. We can't
have
more roguelikes.
Someone comes in the store and they're like, I'm looking for this film. You've got a handful of VHSs and you have to play it onto them.
Oh, no.
It's a tape builder.
It's a tape slinger.
Tape slinger.
I hate that because I kind of like it.
Hurt,
but
actually,
that's why I hate it.
I mean, it's perfect.
That's a totally viable direction. But maybe we should try and not use it this one time.
Fine.
Maybe.
Fine.
You could make it just like the history, you know? You could have decades go by at a time, right? So you could have, I don't know, let's say level one is like the 80s and then you've got a last the 80s and then it's the 90s. You've got a last the 90s, but you're having to bring video games in. There's new stuff coming in. Then it's the 20s and you've got like, oh, okay, I'm getting DVDs in now. And, you know, more and more blockbusters coming up. But then eventually the last level is that they're gone and it's just you again. And you're like, okay, I guess I'm against Netflix now. And it's like, how do you
actually, you
survive?
Know what? That's not a bad, like, thinking about it in terms of the actual trajectory of these kind of shops. Blockbuster and all those chain stores are dead. But the ones that do survive...
Their memory lives on.
no, but there are like bespoke tiny little VHS rental stores, VHS and DVD rental stores in cities around, you know, where hipsters go to. It's the kind of place where, like, if you collect in the same way, if you collect vinyl, you know, if you want to watch your VHS or whatever, or get a DVD, you go to these places, and that could be the history of it. That's what happens.
20th Century Flicks here in Bristol that I've been meaning to go into.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah,
it's. I would well. Really I'd like cool. to say that's part of the problem, is that you two have been mean to go there for quite some time, and you haven't.
Yeah,
because you realise right. you go. All of a sudden, I realise that VHS is a bad format to view things on.
I can get Face Off on Amazon.
It's almost as if I can stay in my own house, not get dressed, and pay £2 to rent it on Amazon, and then realise that I actually didn't want to watch that film anyway, and because I had a. My thoughts about it were better than I remember. What a sad situation to be.
While I proposed it, I do think actually that's too much work. If we were to think of this as a real game, I want this all set in the same time period. I've got the one crappy computer
forever.
And you're just there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it sounds like the mid game of this is great. The start of the game is exciting because you're building up your store and getting a reputation and everything. You got the mid game where you're at the height of this thing, and then it's just the slow, miserable decline as you just try to claw up to whatever you had before, and you never will. You will go bankrupt.
Yeah.
I think it has to have an end date, and at the end you are given, hey, you did this, which is you made this much money, you rented this many things, you had an overall rating of this, the end. Like, it doesn't, it's the end is what you have achieved. You could be happy with that or not be happy with that and try again, knowing some new ways to handle things.
Maybe you choose to bail at a certain point.
They don't have to have a happy ending.
Yeah, that's true. You could just keep going.
It doesn't have to be a sad ending. It's just like, you know, you make enough money, like you're not getting anything in anymore, and you close down the shop and you retire. That's retirement.
Yeah, I wouldn't see that as a sad ending. If it's it's just historical, right? You're not doing it like, this could happen. Yeah. It's like, this happened. You're living in this time period up until this point.
Mm.
Have at it.
Like, when the store finally closes, the game periodically takes pictures of the progress.
And your plays in the background.
And here's that guy that you barred 30 years ago. Do you remember him? Good times. Good times.
Well, the song from the end of The Breakfast Club, that's what I had in my head. And
don't
he's like,
you forget about me.
Yeah, and he just switches off the light and he goes like,
and he
power
just
punches
the air. Yeah.
And then fades to black.
We have
imagine
video killed the radio star. ironically yeah. plays.
Nice.
Right, yeah. What are we going to call it?
Oh, yeah. We've got time. We've got a couple of minutes. Well, yeah, but before we like get too much into detail of like the ending and the larger scope of stuff, I was kind of interested in also talking about the, because one thing I had in my head that I thought would be really satisfying is, I think when I first wrote down this idea, I'd recently finished Unpacking, like the game Unpacking, and I really liked
Thank you for the clarification.
I really liked the satisfying, you know, the whole thing that game is about, which is putting stuff into places and it feeling good. And so
Unpacking.
Like, Unpacking. But like the idea of like stocking these shelves, and can you go in and like actually being able to put in maybe not every individual VHS, but like sections, or just like you're stocking the shelves.
You have a box of VHSs, and in front of you is an empty shelf. It doesn't even have like a title at the top. It doesn't even say action. It doesn't say horror. It doesn't say anything. You can type that in yourself.
Yeah.
And you can put the VHSs in. You can see the vague descriptions of them, or you know more about them. You, as a person who works in a shop, has already watched the film. So you know there's explosive action in this film and there's explosive shit in this one. Do you put them in the same pile? They're both explosive, but one is clearly smut.
Yeah. I think when you start off, I think you should place every single one.
Yes.
Because when you start off, you're not going to have loads and loads and loads. I think what would be satisfying is that over time, you know, you start with the cover facing out, right? You know, you've not got many on the shelf, but then you think like towards the end of the life of Blockbuster, where it was just literally stacked, like as more and more titles come out. I think that's the way to go. And you're responsible for it. So if you lose something, I think that's kind of fun. You'd be like, oh shit, where did I put that? That's part of it, isn't it?
You have it's to
like
go you and don't look around have and a way to find it.
I think that like the what you're sort of taking with that is, and what you gain from that as well, is like when you went and gave a video back to a video store, you didn't put it back on the shelf. Like they had to put it back on the shelf. And I think doing that as well and then being like, why is this here? And clearly someone's just put something back in the wrong place. And you're like, okay, well, I'll take that. But also like when you click on a video from a pile, it appearing in like 3D, and then you can spin it around, see both sides of the covers, and it's all like, this is a very art heavy game because of all the fake films that you have to.
I love that.
But like being
I'm
able
glad
to
you
see
said that. Yeah, I've been thinking
like,
about those.
Just a 3D like version of it, and it's like paws, and it's just a giant cat that attacks people in water.
Exactly. Yeah.
For some reason, I was imagining then, not instead of it being Roller Coaster Tycoon perspective, isometric or whatever, for some reason, I was imagining it being navigated in a similar way to like Myst, where you can turn 90 degrees to the left, forward a block, you turn 90 degrees to the right, you walk forward, and all the characters that come in are like FMV.
Is that almost like the movement in Inscription, you know, when you're moving around?
Yes, Inscription and...
That kind of...
No, I agree. I think that looks good, because then you can like perfectly skip shelves and like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you move between each station, like you've got your computer that you can tab to, you've got the shelves that you can tab to, you've got the back office or whatever that you can tab to, the counter where you can talk to customers that you can tab to.
That is going to make
the like, first
interaction so
nice.
Much better. Yeah, the first person of like...
What, that they are FMV?
What, they're actually FMV. They're not 3D like rendered.
The people should be FMV. That is a great idea.
And they are like poorly cut out like in Myst.
And they have they have their own film grain on because they've clearly been recorded on a VHS like style video camera.
I love the idea of like seeing these people come up, taking their card and being like, oh yeah, I'll just input your data here. And you have a look at like, they're standing in front of you at the desk and you're like looking at their recently rented titles and it's all just like, just fucking filth, just like just some really perverted weird dark shit, and you just have to like just have a chat with them about what kind of film you might be able to help get them.
That's the thing, I don't imagine there being like it being super busy all the time. I'm imagining like it's a steady
quality
stream.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be the Roller Coaster Tycoon style of like there's 50 people
it's
out
not
the
overcooked.
Door and
It uses the same engine as Left 4 Dead to gauge excitement levels as you're going. If the store is ever empty, it starts generating a horde. And then the music starts playing.
Well, no, it generates a protest. it generates a bunch of a protest outside the store of being like, they've got the smutty films in the back. Don't let anybody in. You've got to go and like shoo them away. There's loads you could
that
do.
That could
with
be
this.
A whole thing as well, because you could, like, in terms of like positioning of the different sections as well, like, you're going to have families and stuff come in. You don't want to put the 18 or even 15 rated stuff up the front. You want to make sure it's in the right area because
X rated through a back door.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that yeah, you could literally have like X rated, fuck's sake, unrated stuff. Yeah, through the curtains. But in terms of just the general adult stuff, like, is this like, this is a dev question. Like, is this, how is it doable to have, like Tom, you were saying about like naming your own sections and things. Yeah. Could you be like essentially creating tags for sections, and then if you put videos there, they are attributed, you know, that tag is attributed to them.
Yeah.
And then you can have preferences for certain customers. So say, for example, like a parent walks in, if they walk past, like within like X units of the front door, if they walk past an adult movie, that's going to bring down their opinion of your store because you've put it in a bad place. In their eyes, at least. Yeah. So you have to kind of manage people's. Yeah,
I think everyone that comes in, they have randomly generated perception levels, and if they spot the video up there,
vision cones.
Cones of vision.
God.
So there are like stealth missions where you're like, someone comes in, it's a pack of school children, and you notice, oh no, that shouldn't be up there.
They can
see it. You have to rush out, grab it, then hide around the aisles so they don't spot it in your hands.
Under a box.
That's one thing that would benefit that sort of isometric view of, like, you can see the police car pull up outside and the copper slowly walking towards your store, and you're like, quick panic, and then you start like bundling things into boxes.
Shove it all in a box. Get the magnets.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe you get a phone call. Copper's on the way or whatever. And you're like, oh God, you could still do the same kind of thing. I'm voicing all the characters
I really
in this game.
I really appreciate you doing the voice for that.
All right, here we go.
One other thing we haven't talked about, but we don't really have time for it, but I think is like being able to, again, this is like an art heavy thing, but being able to like create your own promotions and stuff. Like, you could have posters and things up on the window.
Oh, it's
where you position
I think
stuff.
You get box deliveries of like, oh, we've got this 2 meter by 3 meter fucking promotion. You have to find a place to put it in your store, or you could just knock the bottom. Yeah. And you have to figure out, you know, I don't have time to put it up today because of this reason or that reason or whatever. But the less time it's up there, the less hype there is for when the film actually comes out or the game actually comes out.
Yeah.
My partner, Emily, used to work at a Blockbuster, and she took home a giant 3D Batman at one point. So they used to just give that to the staff.
What you do in your home, at James, is your business.
We don't have it anymore.
It was ruined.
Sullied.
It got destroyed.
Didn't hold up. Why I like the fact, because the customers are FMV, is that when we do localization, they would all be dubbed. And it'd be real bad dubs of like different languages.
Yeah, we'd be locked into FMV now.
Yeah, I think even in their native language, I think it will be poorly dubbed.
Yeah,
it will. The sound will be out of sync to their mouth. It has to be as authentic shit FMV as it can get.
Yeah,
but that's great, because then people can just record it on their phones and stuff, and it will sound great in the game, because you want it to sound terrible. So
yeah, we can make this game real cheap.
Real cheap. Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah,
this is easy.
The worst quality it is, it's like my mic last week. Perfect. Right?
Yeah.
The worse the quality, the more authentic it sounds.
It's you can get away with so much when you just make that your style.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Shit.
If it's shit, as long as enough of it is shit, it becomes an aesthetic.
That's why we've been going 2 years.
Man, the pause menu, this is so lame of me, but the pause menu would be great. It'd be like pausing a videotape.
You see your remote
and you see
come
the
up,
lines
press
come up.
The scan
lines.
Lines.
Yeah. That would be so good. You hear the little ka-chunk of the button.
That's exactly how Landlord's Super does it.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. The Yogscast Games game, available on Steam.
Greg's light
years
ahead of us.
Cheeky plug.
Damn.
Not for my own game. Don't buy my stuff.
Well done. All right, look, you can buy Chris's stuff, but also you can buy Greg's stuff. Landlord's Super is available now.
Oh, yeah, maybe buy my
James's
stuff as well. I don't know.
Tom and I don't have anything.
Tom's is just smut.
Nah,
it's his own videos.
It's all the video nasties.
You don't want to see it. Don't Google it.
We've run out of time, so we've got to end it there. But I feel like pumped about that one. I'm excited.
I think it's one of those things that it's weird that there isn't, it's a different thing, but it's kind of similar. It's weird there isn't just a library simulator as well.
Tom, don't say there isn't, because there definitely probably is. And three people library will point sim. Out to us. We didn't come up with a name, but I feel like we should just go with like unpacking, where it's very obvious, like video shop owner, right? You just You just
the only thing that I had exactly in my head was like VHSIM. So it's like VHSIM doesn't really work.
I like how tortured it is.
There isn't one, by the way. There isn't one. A library simulator, at least from a course from Google. So, and,
well, that's next week then.
Books are just boring VHSs.
Exactly. They're slow and I can't read them.
Yeah. They're slow and I can't read. So
you can still have the cutting up of the library card mechanic. Yeah. So that works.
Yeah, You've got a whole series. It's just a library, but for cool people.
I like that.
There you go. All right, that's Chris, how they could have survived.
What do you think of this?
Yeah.
Nice.
Great. No, I like it.
Thanks.
I think I like the aesthetic. I think I like the micromanagement. I know a lot of people don't like micromanagement, but I think when you're doing it on that sort of scale, it sort of makes it yours, especially doing the
VHS. There's a personal touch to it.
Because I can choose to do it alphabetically rather than thematically or genre.
Yeah.
And there's something satisfying in the monotony of it. It's not tedious. It's monotonous. But no, which is the bad one?
They're both
tedious
bad.
Is the bad one, I would say.
Monotonous. Like, monotonous doesn't necessarily mean bad, Tom. It's just doing the same thing over and over again. Tedious is bad.
Oh. All right. Thanks.
God, read a book.
shit. James, what do you think?
I'm into it. I think from a design perspective, it'd be a lot of fun to make all the fake video covers and...
I thought you might be into that.
Yeah, art heavy. I like that. But yeah, I mean, having the customization, laying out your own store and having, you know, as you progress, more and more stuff is going to build up. Like those stores always got so packed with stuff. You're going to start with a small store and it's going
to,
yeah.
Ways to keep people there. Tom, would you play this? Do you like it?
Yeah, I think this is one of those rare pitches where it's like, why doesn't this exist in some form? Why doesn't this game exist? And yeah, sure, maybe not every idea.
Have we checked?
Well, I mean, if it does, I certainly haven't heard of it and none of you have heard of it. So there's something, if it does exist, it's shit. I think it's really cool. And there is a lot of different, very iconic blockbuster or library rental sort of things that don't exist in other systems or anything like that. And it'd be cool to explore those in a game mechanic way. Like, yeah, banning customers and seeing their order record, their order history and whatever else, recommending stuff to people, I think could work really, really well. And why doesn't it exist?
I feel like we've managed to pull a decent legible sentence out of this spaghetti alphabet.
Yeah. And it was basically...
It was only three letters. It was VHS. Just, it was really
it
easy.
It was dry. Just poop explosion.
Yeah. All right, look, if it's... whatever this game is to you, if it is the isometric or if it is Myst, FMV style, or if it's something entirely different, let us know. Let us know what you think of this. So they can let us know in a couple of different places. I don't know where, though. Do you know, Tom?
We've done this many episodes and you still don't know.
Yeah, I've got a real bad problem with memory.
He's so old. But I'm super young, as I said before, and I do know it's at PitchPleasePod on Twitter, PitchPleasePod without any vowels, and you can let us know in the reviews, you can let us know on the YouTube comments, you can send us messages individually on Twitter, or you can piss it into snow and take
you
a picture of it.
You can
turn
up at Tom's
house. Piss into my mouth. Well,
piss into my mouth, and we'll discern the flavour.
So, like a tea reading.
Yeah.
We also have
e-reading.
An official email address now.
We have an email address?
Which is, yeah, we have an email. I didn't know.
It took us two
years. We have an email address set up for us.
Really?
Where stuff just gets forwarded on.
pitchplease.com.
It's yimmyyammer. It's pitchpleasepod.
With vowels?
It's pitchpleasepod with the vowels. If you,
oh, that's confusing. That's
blasphemous.
Yeah, I know. So it's pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com.
pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com. Amazing.
Yeah. You could email us there. I think what I would really like is, because a lot of people tweet and ask, like, how can we send you, just one email from one person
just
would be great.
Someone.
Anyone,
like,
please.
We get tweets being like, I have an idea. How can I send it to you? Because it's quite long. People can send over documents or they just send it over in that whole, you know, in an email or whatever. But if you just want to send over like a voice message as well, I feel like that's like kind of like, you know, we're having callers. That's a cool thing.
We can have a caller section.
Yeah,
we don't even, call in. It's like at the very end of the episode, we just listen to a call don't actually mention it at all. It's just like, oh, let's go to the call section. Anyway, let's get back to the good stuff.
Well, hey, if you want to make your call 40 minutes long, then we can just put that on.
We'll just play that. And that'll be the episode.
And play that and we're done. So yeah,
make it so much easier.
Bring your own pitch podcast. Send us that.
At yogscast.com. Let us know. And all the other places Tom mentioned. And also rate us, listen to us, follow us on Twitter, all that shit, whatever you're supposed to do. Piss in our mouths. And we'll see you next week. That's our new catchphrase. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't think that's going to stick for some reason.
I think it might. It piss in my mouth, and we'll see you next week.
Piss in my mouth and call me daddy.
That's too far.
No? None of that?
Oh, crap.
You say it's too far. I know for a fact this is going at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.